Parsha Kitavo begins with the mitzvah Bikurim, the mitzvah bringing the first fruits, and then it goes on to describe the section which is referred to as Vidui Maestros. Chumash tells us, Perakavov, Pasuk Yud Beis, 26:12, when you have finished tithing every tithe of your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, to the proselyte, to the orphan, to the widow, and they shall eat in the cities and be satisfied. Then you shall say before Hashem your God, I have removed the holy things from the house, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayit, I have also given to Levi, to the proselyte, to the orphan, to the widow, according to whatever commandment you have commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, and I have not forgotten. I have not eaten it in my intense mourning, I did not consume it in a state of contamination, I did not give it for the needs of the dead, I have hearkened to the voice of Hashem my God, I have acted according to everything, Kechol Shir Tzvitani, everything you commanded me, amazing, I have done everything Hashem. And then we turn, Pasuk Tetvav, Hashkifa Mima'on Kachecha, gaze down from your holy abode, from the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the ground that you gave us, as you swore to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So a very fascinating section. I'd like to focus, obviously there's a lot to focus in on here, I'd like to focus in on two major ideas. The first is the idea of this section is referred to as Vidui Maestros, the confession of giving Maisa. And as the Chochman HaMatzpun in source number 5 asks, V'yesh lavin, lama karu chazal? We have to understand why Chazal understood this, but l'shem vidui. Hello, ani regalim like dir amila vidui, alamit vadeh chatim pshayim. We understand usually vidui is, I confess why I've done something wrong. Alchei chachatan l'fanecha, I did this wrong, I spoke l'shanara, whatever I did, that's vidui. And how do we understand here? Here we're saying, thank you Hashem, I've done everything you've told me to do. And that's called confession? It seems to be the antithesis. Like, you know, confession means I've done something wrong. Here I've done something right. Why are we calling doing something right? How do we understand in this case, I've given all the tithes, I've done everything you've commanded me, that we call this confession? And there are a lot of answers, obviously, to all the questions we raised. We're going to take a look at Birut Hashem today at two approaches. The second question is the idea of Hashkifa Ma'on Kachecha, that Hashem should look down and bless the people. Rashi, that the article of Chumash Source 2 points out, we have done what you have decreed upon us, now you do what behooves you by blessing Israel. This verse is the only exception to the rules, notes Rashi, that the word Hashkifa, gazing in Scripture, denotes careful examination to determine that punishment is appropriate. But when Jews give to the poor, the attribute of judgment is transformed into the attribute of mercy. So Rashi tells us that all the places in Chumash, when you have the word Hashkifa, Vayashkef, to look down, that's an inyan of punishment. It's an aspect of retribution. Here is the only case where it's not to punish, but rather to bless. And it's interesting, if you take a look at the Gemara Yerushalmi, which is what the source is based on in Source 4, Yesufos Baruchos brings, we see here, Amar Rav Huna Bar Acha, Borei Kama Gadol Kocham Shal Osei Mitzvah. You see the power of the mitzvah, particularly the power of giving tithes, the power of chesed. Shemapchim et haklala lebracha, that it turns the klala, the curse, into a blessing. And Rav Goldberg points out, the idea of shemapchim means that originally Hashem would have cursed us. But here, instead of the very curse, that curse is turned into a blessing. And then also we have to explain, why would, if we say we've done everything that Hashem wants us to, why would that warrant a curse? And yet we say, Hashkifa, Hashem, no. In this case, albeit it warrants a curse, bless us instead. Why would it warrant a curse? Where is this idea of vayafoch, that it's being turned, v'nafochu? Why would we have thought it should be a curse and now into a blessing? Originally it should have just been a blessing. How do we understand this? It's important to note here, and this will be our third question, is that Rashi explains on the Pasuk, Asiti kechol shir tzivitani, I did all that you commanded me, Rashi is brought in Source 13, Samachti v'simachti bo, I rejoice and made others rejoice. And we have to understand that Rashi also, Asiti kechol shir tzivitani, I did everything you told me. What is doing everything you told me? I was joyful and I made others joyful. That's doing everything that Hashem told me. How do I understand this? So my friends, we have our work cut out for us, and it's very close to Rosh Hashanah. And we need to obviously understand how the messages in this parasha of Kitavo are relevant for Yontif as well, and preparing us in Elul for the Yom HaDin. Before we look at the two levels of understanding, the vidui, the klala turning into a bracha, the curse into a blessing, the inyan of joy, I'd just like to make mention that, as the Shari Chaim points out, that there are very few places in the Chumash where you mamish find the inyan of a tefillah, of a prayer. And it's interesting that the tefillah is hashkifa mima'on kachecha. We know there are many different levels, many heavens, right? Seven heavens. Ma'on is a specific category. And there, Chazal tells us the Gemara Chagiga, it is the fifth of the seven heavens. And there, the Malchei Asharei, the angels, they sing Shira to Hashem at night and are silent during the day, Mipnei Kvodan Shel Yisrael, because of the honor of Klal Yisrael. And Chazal understand this to mean, as we'll see later on, that Hashem says, I want you to be silent during the day because Klal Yisrael sings Shira and I want to listen to their Shira during the day. This is a place of tremendous simcha to Hashem, and hence we also say in the aspect of the Sheva Bracho, Shav Simcha Bimona, right, in the benching, that the simcha is found in the Ma'on, Hashkifa mi Ma'on Kachecha. It's a source of simcha. Samachti v'simachti bo. It's a mitzvah that is connected to simcha, and hence we draw from that realm of heaven, which is connected to simcha, the realm of Ma'on. Notes the Shari Chaim, the fact that we have in the Chumash, Mamish, and the favors of Tefillah, very few Tefillahs in the Chumash, we understand that here, that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit that I have done the mitzvah like you've told me to do, and although I am worthy of getting a bracha now, I've done what I was supposed to, nevertheless, the asterisk, Im lo yitpalel ha'adam v'yivakesh al ha'bracha, Vim lo yomar nusach ha'tfilah kafi ha'nachon lomar v'otasha, alumahu lafsid et ha'bracha. It's not enough to say, well, I've done the mitzvah, now Hashem should bench me. By the Chumash writing here, right, asiti kechol shetritani, this has become like a paradigm case. I've done all that you've told me. It's not just enough to do it. You then have, and expect bracha to rain down from heaven. You have to daven for it. You have to daven for the bracha. The tefillah is part and parcel of our relationship with Hashem. Just doing the mitzvot is not enough. You mamish have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring down the shefa as a result of doing these mitzvot, which is like a chiddush gamur. We see this lekach v'alibov in source number 8. He brings this idea as well based on the Chafetz Chaim. He says, "Lavin inyan amiras harachamam lachar shegomim hadalad brachos." We know benching is midaraisas from the Torah, it's for men. And right after we finish the fourth bracha of Atova Meitiv, then we have all these harachamam, rachamim for seva chavod, yishpor lein mal tavareinu, etc. He says, the Chafetz Chaim asks, "What's the pshat of having all these harachamam?" She says, "Shemivayer mashadam itpalel hashkifa ma'on kachecha." It's based on again on this pasuk. Ki lachar kiyum ha-mitzvah, after I've done a mitzvah, right, in this case, benching. Hilzman misugol ispalel, then it is an auspicious time to daven. Ki bekoach kiyum ha-mitzvah, eight ratzo. Because when a person does a mitzvah, it becomes a favorable time, an eight ratzo. Vayidei seyit kaba bakashato, when you do a mitzvah, you're opening up the gates of heaven, and this becomes the perfect time to then daven. So after you daven, something to think about. It's a gevaltik eid ratzon. We've just did this mitzvah, so now we ask Hashem, we are first singing b'chavon, and we ask Him, Yishlach lanu bracha, I'd say that He should send a great blessing on this house, etc. And we should have kavanah for these brachos that we're mamish taking. Right? It's not enough just to do a mitzvah, but we're taking that time of mitzvah observant. It's an eid ratzon. And we're davening. And he explains that's why it was the koch of tefillah after of a woman, after lighting hadlakas neros. She does the mitzvah, right? One of the three mitzvahs incumbent upon a woman is hadlakas neros Shabbos. And after she does this mitzvah, she's able to ask, Levakesh rachmim v'tachnun v'tzei baris baruch. Again, it's an auspicious time to daven. So this is the first idea that we learn even before we enter into the technicalities here, is that Hashkifa Mon Kachecha becomes a binyanav, a paradigm for us, that after we do a mitzvah, it's not enough to assume that a bracha is going to come down to daven. Hashkifa Mon Kachecha, Hashem, please look down from your heavens and bless us, bless your nation, bless your land, bless the people, etc. And when we finish doing a mitzvah, we also should take that opportunity. We say this by a fresh chala. After we do a fresh chala, gavaldic time to daven for women. Anytime you do a mitzvah, this is a gavaldic time to daven. And if you've ever been to Rabbi Jamimi Mizrahi's classes, she said this to women. After shir, she says, let's take a minute to daven. It's an eight ratzon. So if you're learning here by yourselves in a group, use the end of the shir, not now, we're still learning, but in the middle of the shir, be able to utilize the eight ratzon. Okay. Having said that, let's now begin our study. Vidui. How do we understand vidui? So we'll see, let me just lay out two options, and then we'll develop each option. Option number one is to understand vidui k'mashmo. Tshuva, this is Rav Ulbi and Chumash, which includes true remorse over one's action, a serious commitment to refrain from repeating these actions in the future, must also be accompanied by vidui, which is a verbal confession. What's the idea of vidui? So he notes, more than a sin causes Hashem to distance himself from the transgressor, it causes the transgressor to distance himself from Hashem. When a person commits an aveira, he imagines or believes that Hashem does not see him perpetrating the misdeed, almost as if he has hidden himself from his Creator. The way to rectify such behavior is the recitation of vidui. We declare for the sin that we have sinned before you, al chet shechatanu lifanecha. We acknowledge that not only were you, Hashem, watching us when we sinned, but at the same time you even continue to bestow upon us the physical capacity that was used to commit the offense. That's the Torah Devorah. A person who acknowledges his truth, that removes the partition that separates himself from his Creator, has honored Hashem. Prior to vidui, we beseech Hashem, please accept our prayers, do not ignore our entries, and we recognize that when we say vidui, that we're mamash standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we know that vidui is always connected with Shemoneh Esrei. That vidui means that I'm standing in front of Hashem. It's about a personal relationship with Hashem. And vidui is generally when I've done something wrong, I acknowledge that when I did something wrong, I wasn't aware that you were standing there, or I chose to ignore you. And my vidui is a recognition and an awareness. I'm able to articulate that I'm aware that I am standing in front of you, I had sinned in front of you, and now I want to return in front of you. That's how we normally understand vidui, which again begs the question, how do we understand that this section in Chazal is called vidui maitre? That's one way of understanding. The second way, and again we'll develop this both in Yerutz Hashem, the Chochmah Matzvun explains as following. Vidui is mishoresh vadai, truth, for sure. Vadai emet velo sheker. It is true. It's for sure. And aleinu litzvadot im zeh naseh be'emet kefi ritzon Hashem. We have to acknowledge and be truthful. Has this really been done as all that Hashem has asked me to do? Asiti kechol asher tivitani livdok v'lasto chashman ha-nefesh im nesteh mitzvah kiochata im lo bekavanot zarot begramim. The question we have to ask ourselves is, Vidui Maestro says, yes, I did everything like you told me to, but can I stand truthfully and say it was done 100% like you asked me to do it? Do I have that vados? Havadai shmo kenti laso. Do I have that vados that I am doing it properly? Nimsan anu lemedim, the end of 10. Vadot doesn't only mean to confess, as much as to have an honest assessment of oneself. Not only on the averos that I've done, not only on my sins that I've done, but also on the mitzvahs I've done. How appropriate have they been? Have they been really doing it for the sake of Hashem or not? So vidui, yes, on the one hand, is for sin alone. On the second level, no, vidui is also being able to have the self-assessment, am I doing according to what Hashem has commanded me? Am I living up to par? These two aspects of vidui are the two levels that we're going to see, and then see them in the context of Hashkifa Ma'un Kachecha, and then the context of Rosh Hashanah. Vidu is my Mishnid. I said, how do I understand that? In the Vidu is my source, when the Pasuk, the Pharaoh says, Asiti, Kechol Chetzeritani, I've done everything like you told me to do. So it's a Gvaldik Sforno, and there are many levels of explaining this Sforno. The Sforno in source number 11 says the following. I have removed the sacred things from the house because of our sins and the wicked deeds of our fathers. The sacred service was denied to the firstborn of Israel, who were originally deemed worthy to receive the offerings, the Trumos and the Maisros, and now I have given them to the, instead now I give them to the Levi and the Kohen. The notes on the bottom of the Sforno points out, the sages call the statement made at the time of Bia removal by the term Vidui Maestros, confession. We can understand this applied to a statement one's fulfillment of one's obligation. The Sforno explains the reason for the term Vidui. The original intent of Hashem was that the firstborn in Israel be the ones to serve him. Only after the sin of the golden calf was this privilege and responsibility transferred to the Levites and the Kohanim. Hence, had Israel not sinned, both Truma and Maestros would not have been given to the Kohanim and Levites, but it would have remained in each Jewish home, for it would have been rightfully belonged to the Bechor, the firstborn of each household. The fact that there must be a removal is an indication of this failing, an acknowledgement of the sin of Israel, and worshipping the golden calf. Gevaldik. Asiti kechol asher tzvitani, I've done all that you've asked me to do, but by saying that, by saying, Biarti HaKodesh min HaBayit, I've removed all that is holy from the house. That very statement is a vidui. The fact that I have to remove it from the house is a confession. We've sinned. And we know in every generation we're still suffering from the sin of the golden calf. Had we not sinned in the sin of the golden calf, we would have the ties in our own home. And as the Sforno speaks about, and this very much fits into the Sforno Shita, that there should not have been a Mishkan. There should have been, every home should have been the abode of spiritual dwelling of Hashem. So what is the sin that we're referring to here? It's not individual sin. It's like the sin. It's a vidui. Every year, every third year when we say this, what I'm saying is, we've messed up, we collectively. The fact that I have to find a Kohen, a Levi, to give these tithes to, and I'm not able to keep it in my home, in my family. I'm not able to have these holy tithes consumed under my roof. It's a failing. It's a vidui. I've done something wrong. Now here's the key. V'nim seit omer the arrow of gold v'chtasufos marachos that Saul develops this. Shebigar HaKodesh min HaBayim mivateh. It reflects where Klal Yisrael's at. Sheino ra'uyot shetishreh bo shechina bizgalta. Bizgalya, that we don't have the revelation of Hashem in an open way, like it was at the time of Mamet Har Sinai. That we have to give it to them. L'rokeinah beiteinu me'akadusha, the double underline. We have to empty our homes from the holiness. The moment that I say this, have I sinned? We've messed up. We have a Beis HaMikdash. We have Kohanim Levim. We don't have the Bechor. At that moment of mentioning, of recalling the sin of the golden calf of the Chet HaEgel, that creates a Kitrug of Klal Yisrael. It's as if Hashem looks down and says, Taka, you're right. This is not the way I envisioned it. This is not the system that I wanted. And indeed, that looking down would create a Klala, would create a curse. And that's why the Vidui is, by saying this, it changes. V'hizu ashkafa l'ra, shedibru b'chachamim. That's what it means, that originally, yes, Hashem looked at us in a negative way, in a klala. Ela shachnos, v'itechapkut shabalei asadot l'sivui shel makom. But however, when Klal Yisrael listen to Hashem now, and they take a fifth of their produce and they give it to others, and they don't keep it for themselves, that ability to step outside of selves to give to others, that has the ability to change the very klala of the kitchen of the accusatory force of mentioning the sin of the golden calf and turning it into a bracha, into a blessing. And that is Bo'er'e kamagodol kochan shalose mitzvah. There you see the power of doing a mitzvah has the ability to change the negative to the positive. And then, he then takes one step further in 13. But it's not that I just have done that. You see, at the moment that I am doing this mitzvah, there's a certain trepidation in me. I know I've messed up. I have to give it to the Kohen, to the Levi, and I can't keep it in my house. But you know what? Even though I've messed up, Asiti kechol shir tzivitani samachti v'simachti bo. I'm doing it with simcha. I'm doing it with joy. I'm not doing it, oh no, I have to give it to the Levi and the Kohen. Mr. Kohen, where are you? Why can't I just keep it? Ugh. No, I'm doing it with joy. And those are the two feelings that we have at the very same moment of doing this. Gilu bir'ata. On the one hand, there's trepidation, there's a recognition that we're not where we're supposed to be. The Shechina's not in my home. And on the other hand, I'm doing this 100% the way Hashem wants me to do it. I'm doing it with joy. Samachti v'simachti bo. I am joyful and I'm making others filled with joy. Gilu, to rejoice, bir'ada, with trembling. And indeed, my friends, that duality of emotion is really the essence of what the Haldeh Rosh Hashanah is about. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells us that we don't have the saying Hallel. Why? The Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Metim, the books of the living and the dead are open in front of us. How can you have Hallel? It's a day of Tshuva, it's a day of Yura and Pacha. On the other hand, it's a day of Simcha, it's a Yantiv, right? The Nechemya tells us, Ki Ched Ras Hashem Hima Uzchem, it's a day of rejoicing. Well, is it a day, and we've spoken about this in the past, this duality of emotion, is it a day of fear, a day of trepidation, or is it a day of joy? And the answer is Gilu Berata. It's both. Rav Pinkus on the next page, on Rosh Hashanah, we coronate Hashem as king over the world. When a king is coronated, there's a great joy in his land. What is the joy all about? The fact that the king is coming to judge the world. For it says, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad, for he's coming to judge the earth. So you see in the very pasuk that there's a joy, and then there's judgment, there's trepidation. And that's a glaring contradiction that we have in Rosh Hashanah, but I understand, and Rav Pinkus goes on, there are many ways of explaining this dichotomy, that the fact that Hashem is the one judging me, and not a judgment of Basar Adam, of the human core, I understand that Hashem is full of compassion, and that Hashem is full of mercy, and that Hashem can override. And therefore, since I stand in front of Hashem, and again, the whole idea of an awareness that he is the king, the very coronation brings that about, allows me to have this feeling of both, of rejoicing in Hashem being the king, as well as in the trepidation of what it means that he is now the king and that he's ruling over us. And this is what Rav Goldberg says clearly in the asterisks in 18. Yom HaKtara Bevadayu Yom Shel Simcha, the day of coronation, of course, is a day of rejoicing. HaMelech HaSmo Sameach Bevadayu, of course, Kivyacho, the king himself, is as if, is rejoicing. V'gam Ha'am Hochim V'smechim Yachmimo, and the people also rejoicing within him, and they participate in the rejoicing of the king. And for them, it's also a day of rejoicing. Aval the Dapos Vanit, at the very same time, it's a day, Yom Shara Adol Livnei Amachot, it's a day of trepidation. Because until this time, they weren't like living with this awareness that the king is over them. Now that they have this awareness that the king is over them, they're being scrutinized for everything that they've ever done. And that scrutiny creates a tremendous amount of anxiety. And that is perhaps the way the Ritva in 19 explains the famous Gemara. Avimur lufanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchus afrodos and shofros. Say in front of me, Rosh Hashanah, the psukim of God's kingship, the psukim of remembrance, and the psukim of shofar. Malchus k'nishe tamli chuni alechem, the Gemara says, the verses of kingship that you shall coronate me over you. Zichronos, the verses of remembrance. Kadeshi alezi chorchem lufanai l'tova, that should be remembered for you for the good. Ubame, how? Through the shofar. So a lot of the commentators ask, well, what does that mean, ubame, through the shofar? That seems to be like a dangling part of the sentence. So the Ritva explains, the bame musevet al hamalchios Ke'ala zichronos ke'achat. What the Bame is really answering is, how can we have Malchios and Dichronos on the same day? How can we have these same emotions? Malchios coronating the king, long live the king. There's joy, right? Be joyful. Rejoicing, the king is being coronated. It's a time of simcha, right? Eat good food. On the other hand, Zichronos, that are remembered as being, the books are being opened in front of Hashem. That, my friends, leads us, or should lead us, to trepidation. So how do you have both as the ritva at the same time? And the answer is, Bameh, Vashofar. Vashofar, the bracket in 19, Mivatet, Chitufam, Badeh, Dadi. The shofar reflects how you can work with both at the same time. Ki bechadu ivi et simchat hamlacha. On the one hand, the shofar is about coronating God the King. That's one of the reasons Rav Sadia brings down. She b'shat hamlacha marim lifnei melech b'shofros. As we say in the mizmor before the tkiyot. Kol amim tiku kaf hariu b'kol rina. Ki Hashem el yon nara melech gadol l'kol haaretz. On the one hand, we rejoice in the land, we proclaim in the land, Allah Lukim Betrua. This is a kapitel we say beforehand. Long live the king, we blow trumpets, right, to acknowledge that we are coronating the king. And that's tremendous simcha. Umeidach, on the other hand, kol shalosh shofar gedunei ganach v'yilulei yolil, maviot cherdat adin. The shofar sounds itself of the wailing, of the trembling, reminds us how we're standing and being judged at this moment. Bechatzrotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lifnei amelech Hashem. Why? Kivalish botaretz. The shofar has both aspects to it. So the Ritva explains the Gemara so beautifully. Ubameh. How do you have Malchios and Zichronos on the same day? And the answer is, a shofar is a representation and reflection that you can have these dualities of emotions. And that, my friends, is exactly the way we're going to be successful on this day. When I have this simcha, when I have this joy that I'm coronating Hashem as king, when I have this joy that I am an Eved Hashem, and that all I want to be is an Eved Hashem, and I come in front of Hashem and I say, all I want to be is your servant. I just want to serve you at all times. That itself leads to a tremendous amount of closeness between us and Hashem. And the very din, the very judgment, is then turned from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim, from the seat of judgment to the seat of compassion. I'll just make mention here, at the end of this section of Rav Goldsmith, who's giving us this binyan av that we learn from our vidui maishos, that you can have two emotions at the same time. The vidui and samachti v'simachti, the awareness of we're not living up at the same time, the joy. Those two emotions is what is going to bring us to Hashkifa Ma'on Kachecha, to Hashem should come down and bless us. Because I am aware of my limitations. I am aware that I've messed up in the Chet HaEgel. Nevertheless, I'm trying to do the best I can. When we are Machtir Hashem, when we bring Hashem down, and we say, Hashem, I want you to be my king. I want you to be able to, I want to make you my king over you. I want to make you the most special in my life, the central of my life. And the what? When I'm able to say that, I'm able to say, Hashem, yes, I know I've messed up, but you're the focus of my life. So here, Rav Goldberg brings down a story I have never read before. He seems to say it's a popular story. The source of it, I don't know. I find it a fascinating story because of the punchline. So that's why I'm sharing the story, even though it's really a representation of what we're speaking about. Make a long story short. There was an officer, a sire of the king, who was very beloved to the king and who had the keys to all the treasure houses, and everything was open in front of him. And he was a very loyal servant for many, many years. And then the Yitzhara got to him, and he embezzled some of the jewels. Like you see beautiful jewels, how can you not put some in your pocket? And it was found out, and the king was very upset. He said, how could you, my trusted servant, rebel against me by stealing from my own treasure house? I am going to make a public model of you, and I'm going to hang you publicly. And sure enough, comes to the town square, and everyone's off from work that day. It's a national holiday, and this person is going to be publicly hung. They set up the gallows, and the king himself is going to be there for the hanging. Right before they put a noose around his head, he says, you know, the rule is that you're allowed one final request before you're hung. They said, yes. They said, okay, what is your request? He said, I would like to speak to the king and make a request of the king. Okay, that's fair. Goes in front of the king and says, my dear king, I have served you my entire life. I realize that what I did was wrong, but I want you to know that I realize that you are the king, and I want to serve you until my very last moment. Therefore, I'm asking you to put the noose on my head that I will have serve you. This is what you want me to do. You want me to die? I want you to put the noose on my head because I want my very last breath of life to be in service of you. When the king heard this and he realized how much this servant looks at him as the king and, you know, looks up to him in this role, and this is his final request, he pardons him and he says, you're not only pardoned, but I'm going to put you back in the original position that you were, because I realize that your whole ratzon, your whole desire, is to serve me. And that's what we're saying on Rosh Hashanah. If we are able to be Malach Hashem, that's the whole theme, and that's why we don't have Vitui, as we'll talk about soon, in 2 weeks or so, that we don't have confession on Rosh Hashanah. It's because all we're saying is, Hashem, I realize you are it. There's nothing else to talk about. You are the master of the world. So the end of the story is the following, very fascinating. He's reinstated this servant, and he feels so indebted to the king for not only saving his life, but for reinstating him, that he always wants to remember that moment that he was forgiven. And that was the moment when the noose was put about around his head. So he used to walk around with a rope and a string, right? The noose around his neck when he served the king to remind him of that special moment and how the king pardoned him. And the Rav Goldberg points out that this is the source for wearing ties. That this noose and string, right, the whole getup, became very popular and became into a fashion. And the ties that we wear are the reflection of the noose around this man's head. How true is the story? I don't know. But I will say one thing. When you see men with ties, or if you're a man listening to this and you wear a tie, it should bring you back to this feeling of I am subservient to the Malko Shel Olam, the king of the world. And that mashal of the way this person, the Sar, viewed his master is the way we should view a Kodesh Baruch Hu at all times. Just something to think about. Without tying us up too much on this topic and getting ourselves in knots that we can't get out of, let's continue to the second level. First level, vidui, is kipshuto kimashmo. I sinned, cheta ego. Hashkif bo kachecha. I deserve negativity. Turn it into positivity. 21. The Gera Rebbe, Rabbi Fred, brings down, once met a young man learning at Rosh Sameach in Jerusalem, and asked him where he learned. The young man replied that he learned at Rosh Sameach, but was quick to add, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. The Rebbe did not hesitate before asking him, for Vosnish, why not? Gera Rebbe's question is one that we have to confront on a constant basis. Our job, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Nachmasa, Darkeinu, V'Nachkarav, V'Nashuva, L'Hashem. Deep introspection. Part of our problem in answering the Gera Rebbe's question is that we're often struck at the first stage of the process. Often stuck. When we examine our ways, we're pretty satisfied with what we find. Shomer Shabbos, we keep kashrus, we fix daily schedule of learning. What more can Hashem want from us? And indeed, there's some basis to our self-evaluations, especially if we compare ourselves to the broader Jewish world. But at the same time, we should not be too hasty in measuring ourselves for one of the seats closest to the Kisei HaKavod. To know why not, let's examine the parsha of Vidui Maestros. At first glance, the term Vidui applied to this recitation is problematic. Generally, we think of Al-Khayth as Vidui. We've raised this before. Quite the contrary, what we confess is that we've given all the tithes that we're supposed to, have removed the holy things, etc. But hidden in this recitation, in the asterisks in 21, say the commentators, is one tiny letter, the Kaf, which is a form of confession. For we do not say that we have given everything precisely as commanded, but rather, kechol, like all that we were commanded. Yes, we gave the tithes, but perhaps not in the optimal fashion. We waited till the end of the 3 years to spend some, rather than giving each one his proper year. And herein lies the lesson for us. If we examine our deeds, we will see that the form of all the mitzvot is there, but often there is something lacking in the content. We avoid any of the prohibited activities on Shabbos, but is our Shabbos table truly Shabbistic? And to give it over exclusively to Divrei Torah and Tzmiros and allowing the children to share what they learned during the week? Or is it a place for discussion of the shul politics, of the critique of the performance of the Baal Kriya, etc.? Sure, we daven, but we always make an effort to daven the minyan. Or is our chakras 15 minutes grab before the morning carpool? There's a commandment of Pur Avruh. The first term, says Rav Hirsch, refers to the mitzvah of having children. The second to the mitzvah of guiding them towards a certain goal in life, as an archer, roveh, an arrow towards a target. And we have to ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the second part of the mitzvah? Do we spend time with our children, play with them? Do we learn them on Shabbos? Do we count the minutes until we can send them to Pirkei group so we can spend the rest of Shabbos sleeping? I'm not going to go through every mitzvah of the Torah and a litany of ways in which we fall short of our performance of each of them. Each of us will make a careful examination of the ways we will be able to find areas in need of improvement. The point is to remember the kaf modifying kol in the vidui meiser, so we're not left with the pleasant but ultimately damaging conclusion that perfection is just around the corner. There is a vidui here. The vidui, this is the second aspect of vidui we spoke about. If we fall short, yes, I'm doing the mitzvot that I'm not worried about, but how am I doing them? Am I giving my full attention to them? Am I beautifying them in the best way possible? Am I giving the hiddur mitzvah to them? Am I expending the most of my efforts in doing them? That's the question. And the Midrash HaLevi echoes this. V'nirem yishmikaranu yicholim lomot shasur lo odam lachush kikiyena kol sher nitzaveh. B'diyuk, we have to be honest with ourselves and we fall short of what Hashem wants from us. And now I can appreciate Hashkifa Ma'on Kachecha, notes for Ablachim Timei Das Atzal. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for example, counts us each time, there is this aspect of Hashem looking down and like scrutinizing us. And that's why there's a potential of having a negev, having a plague every time we count. V'chein kan hashkafahu tamid l'ra'ah, mi yamo l'mor panav. Likewise here, Hashem is coming down to look at us. We say, Ashkifa ma'on kachecha, come down and look at us. If he were to come down and look at us at the mitzvahs that we do, it would be lara, it would be, God forbid, laklala for the curse. And therefore, we have to understand that based on what we are doing, we're not deserving that Hashem should send us the bracha. What changes it here that the Ashkifa, the looking down, is from the negative to the positive? The answer is the giving of stucca, the matnat aniyim. Here, when we give stucca, when we are giving the tithes to others and doing this chesed, that has the ability for Hashem kivyachol to overlook all of our shortcomings and treat us with bracha, treat us with blessing. This is what I'd like to develop because I believe, my friends, this is mamish the yisod of where Elul Rosh Hashanah is about. We fall short. There are many areas that we are not living up to potential, and we have to work on them, no doubt about it. We have to first recognize what they are, we have to acknowledge them, and we have to place safeguards and different, you know, things in our lives that are going to change this, that our Shabbos table will be different, that I will, you know, at least learn one sefer at my Shabbos table, even for 4 minutes, something to create some kedusha at my table. Granted. But there is one thing, there are a number of things, but one powerful thing that Chazal say that has the ability to change from the negative to the positive is the power of stucca and chesed. Hashkifa mon kachecha, Hashem, you're going to go and look down, I give out. When you look closely at somebody, you see all the wrinkles. It's not good. Look from afar. Ah, when you do chesed, Hashem looks at it from a totally different angle. And this, the Moshe Rav Scheinerman points out. He says, this is the idea we spoken about earlier, that Hashem hashkifa ma'on kachecha, quoting the Klei Yakar, where Hashem silences the angels during the day, and he says, I want to hear from my children. Why? Because I want to do chesed to those who need chesed. And Hashem is close. Shekash Baruch Hu se chesed ze beschuras chesed. Shatachtonim osim heim ze im ze. V'meiser b'chlau chesed. Hashem says to the angel, I want you to be silent. I want to do a kindness to Klai Yisrael. I want to pay attention to their songs. I want to be, look at them positively in the schus of the chesed that they do of giving meiser. V'hu b'zchut midas ha-rachmanus sheba'adam sh'ma'afech midat achzarius sheba'u l'rachmanus. Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'apech rogus l'rachmanus. When we overcome our natural tendency sometimes to be angry, to be strict, and we give to others, and we are nice to others, Hashem does likewise for us. And he brings down here, based on the Dumno Magid, such a gewaltig vort. He says, this is what the Pshat, which is one of the ten psukim in Zichronos, HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim in Yelud Shashuim, Kimidei Daribo Zachoras Karenu O, when I think about my beloved Ephraim, when I think about him, Al Kein Hamu in my eye, Lo Rachema Rachamenu Numashem, I'm filled with compassion for him. And he explains the following. Rachema Rachamenu means that I have put in him the Mita of Rachmanus. And because I've put in the Mita of Rachmanus, the three character traits of a Jew, Rachmanim, Beshanim, Gumle Chachtonim, merciful, bashful, and one who does acts of kindness, Rachem Arachamenu, because I have given within him the Rachamim Arachamenu, I will constantly give him the Mita of Rachmanus. This is the way that we're going to be able to survive on the Yom HaDin. We have the ability that Hashem gave us a gift. Sometimes you can give a handout to a person and they're able to survive for a short time. But sometimes you set a person up in a job and then they can support themselves for many generations afterwards. Right? May also take over the family business. Hashem gave us a family business to be able to be worthy of bracha. And he says, that's pshat, gefaldik in the asterisks. Ki barech avarechecha, which, by Avraham Avinu, which means I will surely bless you. But it means much more than that after the Akedah. Perush bebracha avarechotcha, with the power of blessing, I bless you. I've given you the power to be able to access bracha at all times. The shkifa ma'on kachecha. What is that power of bracha? The ability, when I give to others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to me. And this is what, this is well known in 27, when Rav Shteinman Shlita is asked by people who lo aleinu have challenges in their life, and wants to know, what should I work on to misorer rachamim, to awaken kindness from above? V'hulnelahem, the asterisk in 27, liyo dovuk b'midas ha-chesed v'arachamim. Cling to the mida of chesed, of kindness, of being nice to others. That's the mida that you need. And he quotes here the Gra, that there are two gates. There's a gate in the heart of heaven, and then there's a gate in the heart of man. When a person opens up their heart to have rachamim, to have mercy and compassion on others, Niftachim Share Shamayim L'Rachim Alav. Then the heart of heaven, the gates of heaven are open to have mercy on him. We stand in Vidui Maisros and we say, you know what, Hashem? I've done it, but I haven't done it 100%. Hashem looks down and says, you haven't done it 100% and you're ready to come in front of me and tell me this? And you want me to give you a bracha for that? Like, if you would go to your boss and do, a 70% job and not 100%, you want him to give you a raise? Like, hello! It should be a klolo, not a bracha. How can we then say, Ashkifa mo'on kachecha? Ah, it's in the schus of the matnot aniyim. When we give to others, that's the pathway of creating kindness on us. Rabbi Sheryl Salomon, this is one of my most, you can ask my kids, one of my most beloved ideas of the Yamim Noraim, it's really all year. We say in Avinu Malkeinu, Katvenu B'Sefer Zchuyos, write us in the Book of Merit. So the obvious question is, either we deserve it or we don't deserve it, right? Kids come to me and say, Mrs. Spouse, give me an A. I say, well, you deserve an A or you don't deserve an A. What's this, write me in the Book of Merit? So he explains the following from Magid of Kelm. He says, Katvenu b'sefer Chuyos 28 means giving us the opportunity to gain merits of eternal value. We are ready and willing to do the job. Somebody needs a ride, I'm ready to give it to them. Even if it's going to be difficult for me. Someone needs a dinner, I'm ready to make it for them. Someone needs an ear to listen to, you know, shoulder to cry, I'm there. Katvenu b'sefer Chuyos. Hashem, this person's going to have a nervous breakdown. And they have a lot of friends. Have them call me. I want to be the one who's going to be the merachim, the one who's going to have mercy. I want to be the one who's going to have these opportunities. This is one of the most important parts of judgment passed on each individual Rosh Hashanah, and we have to beg for a share of opportunities, like beggars standing at the door hungry for these priceless opportunities. And we have to do it with complete prayers, confident if we pray for them, Hashem will give them to us. Rav Elia Lopia once spoke at length about the part of Slichos, in which we speak to the Machnisei Rachamim, the heavenly messengers, who bring in our prayers. We ask them to bring our prayers to the Master of Mercy. He asked, who are these heavenly messengers? And he explained that when somebody comes to the door and asks us for a charitable contribution, he may very well be one of those heavenly messengers. And oy vavoy, if we turn the door on them. In fact, the Gemara brings a number of instances where people were saved from the death in the nick of time because they performed a mitzvah at the very moment they were meant to die. Rav Biederman brings a story, I believe it was about a Sally, but maybe mistaken about who it was, who was being driven by his driver somewhere, and he sees in front of him a Coca-Cola truck, and he says to the driver, I want you to cut him off, and, you know, like, really do a bad move, safe, but, you know, not a smart move, on the street. So the driver thought it was a little strange, but he decided to cut him off, and the guy is honking at him. The truck driver is really upset. Baba Sala says, I want you to pull over. He pulls over, the truck driver pulls over. And, you know, he's screaming at him, what do you think you are? You know, you drive on and on. I can understand the conversation. Baba Sala says to him, I'm really thirsty. Can I have a Coke? What, do you want a Coke? You got me over, you want a Coke? And he's screaming. And over again, he says, could you give me a Coke? Could you give me a Coke? And the guy's fuming, no, and he drives off. And the story is, this Coke driver, this truck driver, dies in an accident a few hours later. And the Baba Sali said he saw the malacham of it over this truck, and he wanted to be mezakim him by doing him a chesed. Had he given him that soda, it would have been an opportunity of chesed that perhaps could have saved him. There are opportunities that come knocking at our door that we need to be able to grab. And that's what we have to understand. You want to know how you're going to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom HaDin? I don't have an easy answer for you. But I can tell you what Chazal tell us. Kol merachim ala brios, merachim alav min ha-shamayim in 30. One who has rachamim on others, Hashem has rachamim on them from heaven. And that's what we need to understand, that there is a correlation here. And that we have to understand, as the Kedushas Levi says, Zatzal in 30 at the bottom, that Hashem Socha, Hashem is a shadow. The way we act to others, Mida Kedegan Mida, Hashem acts toward us. And that explains on a deeper level, 29a and 29b, the idea that one's face is a bor b'shus harabim, that how you walk outside, that you should have a smile on your face, that because other people may become depressed because of you, has a relationship with Klapei Shmai as well. When you smile to others, when you give that good feeling to others, you create that good feeling down, kivyochel from Hashem to you as well. Of the Yafesh Shlita, the altar Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael, 32, Chavetz Chaim says that one who does chesed mida k'neged mida, Hashem does chesed with him. And that's why Hashem often has a complaint against us. We're not doing mitzvahs to our fullest extent. But if you do chesed, Hashem will do chesed with you and overlook not doing the mitzvahs to the fullest extent. And he notes here that one of the greatest chesedim we can do is daven for other people. It's a simple chesed. You see somebody in trouble, you hear somebody's in trouble, or you just know people, need shiduchim, need parnasa, need refuah, just to daven for other people. It's a chesed. When you do chesed and show rachamim to others, Hashem shows rachamim to you. For both sides, let's take this one step deeper. This, my friends, is mamish, the underpinnings of what Rosh Hashanah is about, and it says the Rashi Meir Zilberberg Shlita and Sichon Yitzchak and Rosh Hashanah is something so overlooked. He knows at the end of 34, that we spend so much time, that we shashkia kochos in our tekiyos and our tefillos, and we don't spend enough time in bechol drechecha da'ehu, and knowing how to get along with other people. And he explains so gewaltig. He said, Yom Truah, the beginning of 33, Yom Truah Tielachem, it should be a day of Truah, which is a shofar blast. But Truah is also Milshon Reyos, a time of friendship, of Av, of Achva, of Shalom. Allah Lukim B'Truah. Hashem goes up in Truah, which means, at Kama the bracket of 33, to the extent that Jews are Reim V'Avim Mechavim Zeze, that we love each other. That to the extent that a Jew is able to be nice to another people, other people, to that extent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be nice and give to us as well. Allah Lukim Mitruah, you want Hashem to go up, you want Him to judge you favorably? So where you need to put your energy is Mitruah, in this ability of learning to get along with other people. And he notes in 34, the minhag that we have is Rosh Hashanah night, that right after davening we go over and we bless each other on the first night, right? Shana Tova, Tikatevi, Tikatevi, etc. Al Tuchayim, Shalom, Shalom. So you think on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, what should we be doing? Davening, saying, word to Hillel, this is what we should be involved in. Rakita Mitzadiki, listen to this, the asterisk in 34. Shemeshah Sheyudim Mevarachim Echadet Hasheni, the moment one Jew blesses another. Malachim V'Sarafim B'li Sheur V'Sov Mevarachim Oztanu, that the angels come down and bless us. There's nothing more beloved to Hashem than when we are able to get along together. Umekaimim Mashrim et HaBrachos, and they fortify the brachos we've said one for each other. Lo ro lanu shitzumos shel yom hu l'arbon av avach v'shalom v'reus. To reinforce in us that this is the key aspect of what the day is about. The Gevaldik Vorder, based on Rav Aaron Cutler in 36, that Rav Goldberg brings down b'chol drachecha, Shiva and tells Yeshiva in Cleveland, Gevaldik Vorder. Rav Aaron says that we normally think demurgalim anu lachshova inyan shel dveikus shayachei dei mitzvot benotam shebenotam l'makom. You know, we talk about dveikus to Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is probably the prime day of connection to Hashem. What do we think about? We think about that person davening and he's in talis and tefillin and he's standing in front of Hashem, or a person who sings a shofar. That we think is dveikus. He says, but when you're involved in, you know, everyday business and, you know, interpersonal relationships with people, oh, that's definitely not dveikus. He says, no, we know that dveikus means the halachta bedrocha, following in Hashem's way. Mahu chanun avatachanun, mahu rachum avatah rachum, just like Hashem is merciful, we should be merciful. Olam chesed yibana, the whole world is predicated on chesed. And therefore, when we are doing acts of chesed, when we are involved in helping other people, that's real dveikus, that's connection to Hashem, that's the ultimate of connection to Hashem is to follow in Hashem's ways. And how is Hashem described? He's described with these mitos of chesed, of giving to others. The Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed, the entirety of Torah is chesed. You want to know how to spend Rosh Hashanah? The day of dveikus, yes. It's a day of chesed, a day of giving. And that's why particularly for women, well obviously women have a chiyuv in tkiyas shofar, at least to hear 30 kolos. So women have a chiyuv in davening and shemana esrei. I'm not talking about that. But a woman may be home with little kids, or maybe taking care of an elderly parent, or be in a situation where she's a caregiver and can't be in shul all day. And a woman says, oh my gosh, I've lost out on Rosh Hashanah, I've lost out on dveikus. Wrong. There's no less and perhaps even more of a dveikus. Obviously there's a dveikus in shul, no one's denying that. But there's very much a dveikus of clinging, of connection to Hashem, in being a giver, in sitting on the floor playing blocks with your kids or reading them a story. That's giving. That's dveikus. That's an understanding. I'm emulating Hashem right now, just as He's a giver. And I'm taking care of an elderly parent and feeding them. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why am I taking care of this elderly parent? I'd rather be in shul now. Recognize that very moment that you were taking care of that elderly parent, Mahu chanu rafatechu, Yom Trua, the day of Reus, the day of Rachamim, and kol merachim ala brios merachim elamin haShemayim. And when you are giving to these people, the people are so dependent on you, and you're doing it with a fullness of heart, and this is where you're at. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds with rachamim. This is the way that we can stand on the Yom HaDin, and Hashem's not scrutinizing every single aspect of where we're at. This is the key to overlook our judgments. Hashkifa ma'on kachecha. In what schus? In the schus of matan anim, in the schus of chesed, in the schus of staka. This is what the Chumash is telling us, and that schus, Hashem treats us with tremendous amount of rachamim and chesed. And the Mekatrigim and the accusatory forces are silent. I'll just add here before we do our final, very short idea, that those of you who are in shul, right, we spoke about those who are home with different caregiving situations, those of you who are in shul also have opportunities of giving. And the opportunities of giving abound, whether it's helping people with their sitter, helping people in whatever areas they need. And they abound in terms of how I relate to other people, how I'm down the cuffs with people. And he brings down here, we've spoken about this in the past in 37, that, you know, you tell the gabbai, I want a certain seat, not by this person, because this person always brings her kids and makes a lot of noise. And I don't want by this person because I'm really not getting along with that person. And I want this seat in this place. And the gabbai, of course, you know, Shem arranges it, puts you in the seat by the person who you don't want to be with because you've got into a fight, and they also bring their children, and it's not in the place you like to sit. Now what do you do? Do you sit all day saying, oh, those gabayim, am I going to give it to them once Yontif is over? Or do you say, you know what, this is exactly where Hashem wants me to be. Thank you, Hashem. I can be, have rachmanis on this person with their children. It must be so hard to have to take care of the kid and then want to watch them. And when you engender these feelings of rachmanis, that opens Hashem's simcha, feelings of rachmanis to you. So whatever situation you are in, and someone is disturbing you, and someone's bothering you, and they're always coming in and out, and they're blowing their nose too loud in your ear, and who knows what? Kol merachim ala brios, merachim alav min haShemayim. We'll end with our final idea, the third question. How does Rashi learn? Samachti v'simachti acherim, that I was joyful, made others joyful. That's the key of the whole Torah. So, on the first level, we've answered it, or we've touched on it indirectly. It's that when we do the mitzvah with simcha, albeit we know that we sinned, we did the chet ha'egel, that's what Hashem wants. That coronation, that saying, even though I know I'm not where I should be, but I'm going to do it nevertheless with simcha, that in itself is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That's as if you've done everything. That even though you know it's not the way it should be, but you're still going to do it with simcha, amazing. And the second level, Rabbi Biederman brings down in 39b, that famous Gemara of Rabbi Mitzvah Eliyahu Navi in the town square, and says, who's a Ben Olam Haba here? Eliyahu Navi points to two jesters, two people making people happy, and they say, they are a Ben Olam Haba. So the obvious question that's asked is, well, isn't everybody Ben Olam Haba, right? Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek L'Olam Haba. So the answer is, he notes in 39b, we all have a chelek in Olam Haba. We all have a portion. But in order to get that portion, we may go through a lot of suffering, of din, of yisurim, of gehenna. Who are B'nai Olam Haba in the bracket of 39b? Mi'blishit Starchulis Dakeh Bisurim Shonim. Who are B'nai Olam Haba who don't have to go through this purifying practice? It's these people. Why? Ki ha'misameach acherim zochel levatel ma'alav kol minei yisurim v'chalayim ra'im. When you make other people happy, when you give to other people, when you whether it's by giving, making them happy, or by physically cheering them up, but making them happy, making them feel good about themselves, smiling to others, and building other people up. Those are the people, Vaidezel, Vatel, Selek, Malav, Kolasar, Vaisurim, Shemakatri, Giminasim, Lorer, Lav, Chalila. When you make others happy, that takes away, to a large degree, a lot of the kitrug, a lot of the accusatory force on us, on a person. And that's Pshat, he says in 40 in the footnote. How do we understand Pshat and Rashi? So he knows in the asterisk, Halo gam im yaseh v'ikeim ekol mitzvot ha-tar v'chol pratev v'dikukeha lo yuchal lomar shasak yichol shem yitzava mishum hachi kamefarash ha-kavanah simachti bo v'zoi kol ha-Torah kula. You know what? We can never do all the Torah. You're right. But as soon as samachti v'simachti bo, I'm focused and I'm being happy and making others happy, that's the whole essence of Torah. Right? That's what Rashi says. Siti kechol shetritani. I've done everything you've asked me. Because the essence of being a Jew is to make another person happy. The essence of a Jew is Allah l'kim betrua. Hashem goes up in the trua, in the reyos, in the friendship, in the positive vibes that we have. That we don't sit on Rosh Hashanah, I can't believe I'm sitting here, this person. But we exude positivity. We exude, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I'm able to bring out this joy. And this, my friends, is, I think, really the essence of the lesson that we've learned for today. Hashkifa ma'on kachecha, when can we daven and ask Hashem to look down and bless us? So we're learning from here when you give to others, when you're involved in maestros, when you're involved in chesed, when you're involved in making other people happy, the moment that you step outside of yourself, the moment that you have that rachamim to others, and not only rachamim, but you really want to build a person up, and you want to make them feel good about others, that's the moment of dveikus, that's the moment of clinging, that's the yom truah, that's the brachos after the Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah night. That's what Yiddishkeit is all about. Samachti v'simachti achayrim. When you rejoice and make others rejoice, that's asiti kichol shetzvitani. And that's the bracha I leave us with. That we should be able to approach all of our Torah mitzvot b'simcha, gilu berata, even though we know we fall short, we have the simcha making Hashem the king over us, and the simcha being able to help other people, to build other people up. That simcha, kol merachim al abrios, merachim al avmir shemayim, should be the schos that Hashem should have rachamim on us, to bench us with a good gebenshur for us and all of Klal Yisrael.